The History of the Bhagavad Gita by Swami B.V. Giri. The following article on the history of the Bhagavad Gita is presented on Sri Gita Jayanti, the 5,144th anniversary of Sri Krishna speaking the Gita Upanishad, or Bhagavad Gita. Since time immemorial, Srimad Bhagavad Gita has been a prime source of inspiration for many great thinkers and philosophers in both the East and the West. In ancient times, the first commentary on the Gita was written by Adi Shankara, who was the first Acharya to treat it as a freestanding text. Subsequently, other great Acharyas such as Ramanuja, Madhva, Sridhar Swami, and others wrote commentaries on the Gita that presented its essential devotional significance, in stark contrast to Adi Shankara's impersonal interpretation. In the Western world, Srimad Bhagavad Gita has been highly appreciated by erudite scholars and philosophers, such as Henry David Thoreau, Friedrich Schlegel, Arthur Schopenhauer, Carl Jung, and Hermann Hesse. Upon reading the Gita, the famous American transcendentalist Ralph Waldo Emerson commented, "I owed a magnificent day to the Bhagavad Gita. It was the first of books. It was as if an empire spoke to us. Nothing small or unworthy, but large, serene, consistent, the voice of an old intelligence, which in another age and climate had pondered and thus disposed of the same questions which exercise us." From the journals of Ralph Waldo Emerson. Originally, Srimad Bhagavad Gita is part of the ancient historical epic, the Mahabharata, composed by the great sage Vyas in approximately 3100 BCE. The 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita are found within the sixth canto of the Mahabharata, known as the Bhishma Parva, which altogether contains 117 chapters. Initially, Vyas wrote the 8,800 core verses of the Mahabharata, and later his disciples, Vaishampayana and Sutta, added further historical details until the Mahabharata finally consisted of 100,000 verses, 7 times the size of Homer's Iliad and 15 times the size of the King James Bible. The word Mahabharata means the history of Greater India and recounts the story of two feuding royal families, the Pandavas, the sons of Pandu, and their cousins, the Kauravas, the sons of Dhritarashtra. Both Pandu and his brother, Dhritarashtra, belonged to the royal Kuru dynasty of Hastinapur, modern-day Delhi. Although Dhritarashtra was the elder of the two, he was born blind, and so the throne was passed on to Pandu, who became the heir apparent. However, Pandu died untimely, leaving 5 children, Yudhishthir, Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula, and Sahadev. While the Pandavas were still young, their uncle Dhritarashtra assumed the throne as regent until they were of age to rule the kingdom. Yet, due to his excessive paternal attachment, Dhritarashtra schemed that his own sons, led by the corrupt Duryodhana, would ascend the imperial throne. To this end, and with the consent of his father, Duryodhana made several assassination attempts upon the lives of the Pandavas. Despite the wise counsel of his grandfather Bhishma, his uncle Vidura, and his military teacher Drona, Duryodhana continued to plot against his cousins. Yet, due to the protection of Sri Krishna, the Pandavas were able to foil all his murderous attempts. Historically speaking, Sri Krishna was the nephew of Pandu's wife, Queen Kunti, and was thus the cousin of the Pandavas. However, Krishna was not simply a royal prince, but the supreme person himself, who had descended to earth to perform his pastimes and to establish the principles of Dharma. Due to their righteous behavior, Sri Krishna always favored the Pandavas. After numerous failed murder attempts, Duryodhana finally challenged the Pandavas to a rigged game of dice. Duryodhana cheated and won the game, and the Pandavas lost their kingdom. The result was that the Pandavas were forced into exile for 13 years. After completing their 13 years of exile, the Pandavas returned to the capital and requested Duryodhana to return their rightful kingdom. When the proud Duryodhana flatly refused, they requested him to at least give them 5 villages to rule over. At this, Duryodhana curtly remarked that he would not even give them enough land in which to drive a pin. Although the Pandavas sent Sri Krishna as an ambassador to sue for peace, Duryodhana blatantly refused to listen war was now inevitable. Rulers as far west as Syria and as far east as China came to take part in the battle, some supporting the Kauravas due to their political designs, and others favoring the Pandavas due to their piety. During this fratricidal war, Krishna stated that he would not take up arms for either side, but accepted the position as Arjuna's charioteer. Thus, in the month of December, in 3138 BCE, both armies assembled on the plains of the holy place known as Kurukshetra. The significance of Kurukshetra is related in the Vamana Purana that narrates how the virtuous King Kuru, the ancestral patriarch of the Pandava and Kaurava dynasty, performed rigorous austerities at Kurukshetra. Because of this act, Kuru was given two blessings. Firstly, that Kurukshetra would be named after Kuru, and secondly, that anyone who died at Kurukshetra would attain the celestial planets. Bhagavad Gita is spoken on the first day of the war at Kurukshetra. As the two armies prepare to fight, the blind Dhritarashtra sits in his court with his faithful servant Sanjaya, and inquires from him as to what the virtuous Pandavas are doing. Sanjaya, a disciple of the great sage Vyas, had been blessed with the mystic power to observe the conflict far from the battlefield at the palace in Hastinapur. Sanjaya then narrates to the old emperor the sacred conversation between Sri Krishna and Arjuna. Thus, Srimad Bhagavad Gita was received by Sanjaya and repeated to Dhritarashtra for the spiritual benefit of all humanity.